Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, asyhadu la ilaha illallah wa asyhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Ma ba'd. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Today, alhamdulillah, we're at Camp Long Bay in Canada with a group of Shabab youth Muslims. And we're talking about leadership, and especially leadership as Muslims. So, before we can be a leader of something, we need to know what the something is. Isn't that true? So, we'll begin by asking some questions to see what you already know. And I'll begin with the word Muslim. How many know what a Muslim actually is? Tell me. Raise your hand. You know what a Muslim is. Are you cold? Okay, great. All right, who will start out telling me what is a Muslim? Just tell me what a Muslim is. What's a Muslim? Okay, let me try again. What's a Muslim? You got your mouth full. What's a Muslim? A person that believes in Allah? Okay. Who is Allah? Who will tell me? Does anybody know what's Allah? What are we talking about? You know? Who will tell me what's Allah? What's Allah? I can't hear you. What's Allah? You don't know. Allah. What is it? The one and only God. Okay, so this is quick. You gotta give my answer. Let's go. Okay, the time to play was over. Now we're serious. Let's go. You said God. What's a God? What's a God? A God is the creator of the universe. Okay. Next thing I want to ask about is, we talk about Allah. How do we know? Is there any proof there is Allah? Yes or no? I can't hear you. Yes or no? Yes, he said yes. There's a proof. Okay. What's the proof? Who will tell me? What's proof? The Quran. What's the Quran? A book. Okay. So it seems like everybody has some information already. So I'm going to ask you a big word now. Who will tell me Islam? Is this a word that we need to know about? It is? Okay. Who can tell me what Islam means? What does it mean? Anybody else? You said the same word. Anybody else? He's chasing mosquitoes. I thought he raised his hand. What?
Surrender.
Peace. Anything else? Anything else? What? Submission. I think we have that three times now. Go ahead. Anybody else? All right. So now we know where we need to start. Allah. I ask you, is there any proof? Only a couple of you raised your hands. I'm asking you now again. Is there any proof? All right, put those hands down. Is there any doubt? Do you have any doubt? So if somebody asks you, I don't see anybody says you have any doubt, but if somebody asks you, what do you believe, you'll say what? Believe in Allah, okay. If you say you believe in Allah, but they ask you, well, what's your proof, what will you say? What? Islam, that's how you'll answer them? Well, I'm sure that'll just jump right out there and grab them, no doubt. One thing I'm going to ask you to do is speak really loud because I got these headphones on. Go ahead. Come up here. Quickly. Fast. Move, move. Run, run. Up here. Up here. Come on. Yeah. Real close. If there's no creator, we wouldn't be here. But what's the proof that it's Allah? Maybe he has a different name. What's the proof? Okay. Pull this chair. Sit close to me. You had your hand up. What's the proof that it's Allah? Well, how do you know it's Allah? Maybe a Christian will tell you Jesus did it. What would you say? What's the proof? The Quran. What's the Quran? It's another subject. I'm asking you to prove there's a law. Prove there's a law. Come close, because I can't hear you. Run. Don't go slow. Run like you did today when you were out there in the camp. Now, okay. Say it again.
We can't really prove that there's a law, but in our religion we believe that. We believe in the unseen.
So because you can't see it, you believe it anyway, huh?
Yeah.
Sit down. Come up here quickly. Come running. I'm going to be asking you a question for proof that there is a law. By the way, I didn't like that answer. Okay, come here. What's your name?
Abdu'l-Nasir.
Okay, Abdu'l-Nasir, tell me, you have proof there's a law?
Without Allah, all these prophets would not be able to do these wonders.
Who's the prophets? You opened up a new door. What are you talking about, prophets?
Prophets.
Where are the prophets? Who are these prophets? What is the proof of these prophets?
Prophets.
We'll get the chair, sit over here. You have proof there's a law? Okay, what's your name?
Firas.
Firas, come here. Talk right into this thing.
There's a huge boulder in Palestine that's floating in the air.
Yeah?
And we believe that when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went for Isra and Mi'raj.
Who's Muhammad? It's a new subject. I asked you to prove there's a law. You're telling me about floating rocks and somebody named Muhammad. Go sit down. Come quickly. We're going to be asking for proof, so don't put your hand up unless you got proof.
If someone asks me to prove that Allah is there, I say, well, proof is not here. It's not there.
That's your answer?
Yes.
Sit down. You guys are fun. Run. Don't just sit there. Come on. You had your chance. You blew it. Okay, come on. What's your name?
Muhammad.
Muhammad what?
Dimia.
Okay, now, remember, by the way, that this is being recorded and everything you say can and will be used against you. And I mean, no. Okay, Muhammad, here's the question. Is there a law?
Yes.
And what's the proof?
Us.
Us what?
Us humans.
Us humans. So we're all part of a law?
No, but he made us. He created us.
He created us. How do you know? What's the proof? What's the proof?
The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who is this?
And the rock. The rock.
What rock?
In Mecca.
You're with the floating rock group, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sit down. Join us. You had your chance. Okay. Pick him up and put him down. Here he comes. All right. What's your name? Ahmed what? Everybody's name. Ahmed, Ayman, or Muhammad. What's your
Yahya.
Name? Last name.
Yahya. Yahya.
Ahmed Yahya.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Are you positive?
Sorry?
You're positive.
Well, can you use English?
Are you sure?
Yes.
That your name is...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't sound real sure to me, does he to you? Okay. Is there Allah?
Yes.
Can you prove it?
Well, he is the creator.
How do you know that?
Well, no one can create. Well, the car can't make it itself by itself.
But, how do you know that means it's Allah?
Huh?
Allah.
Go
sit down. Okay. Time to get started with the project. What I've done really, I didn't treat you really fair to give you a chance to really say everything, and I'm sure most of you would have given exactly the right answer if you had enough time. But one of the keys that we want to feature here is that you don't have a lot of time. So, and by the way, if anybody needs translation, I would like for you to sit over here and they'll make translation, tarjama. If anybody needs translation, because I want you to catch what I'm going to say. This is a very important part of Islam. In fact, this is the key to Islam, as I said in our earlier program. And I want to feature this. I want you to pay close attention. Because otherwise, a person can go through their whole life thinking they're a Muslim. and they could die and then find out that they were worshiping the wrong thing. A person can go through their whole life thinking that they're in Islam, and when they die, they find out they were wrong. Okay? So this is why it's so important to listen to what I'm going to tell you tonight. Because if you forget me, that's okay. If you forget this camp, that's okay. But it's not okay to forget Allah. Many of you have been exposed to the word Allah since you were born. Most of you heard Allah every day of your life. But you never really thought about it. And when it comes down to that, that's what makes all the difference. When a person dies, he will be asked three questions. And these are the three questions that determine his eternity after his death. The first and most important question of all is, who is your Lord? Because I promise you, if the answer to that one is wrong, then there are no two other questions coming up after it. Who is your Lord? And the answer is?
Allah.
And you say, well, I already know that. I'll be able to say that. No, because you won't be able to say it unless it really was your Lord. It didn't ask you who is God. It asked you who is your Rabb, your Lord. And there is the difference in what? Because if you say God, we all know that there is a God. Almost everybody on the planet acknowledges some kind of God. Even some of the scientists that say they don't believe in God, except that there is a higher intelligence. And even some of them recently came with something they call intelligent design. That there's some kind of intelligence behind all design in creation. And yet they don't want to believe in God. They don't want to believe Allah. Christians believe in God, yes or no?
Yes.
And if they're Arab Christians, what do they call God?
Allah.
Jews believe in God, yes or no? If he's an Arab Jew, what does he call God?
Allah.
So, if the only criterion to come up with the correct answer on the day that you die is to be able to say Allah, then many people will be able to say Allah. Except that's not the case. A person has to know who Allah is without any doubt. Because maybe you just thought you knew Allah, and maybe you don't. And for sure you're going to be asked to explain it to other people. Your children, your family, the people around you. They will ask you, who is Allah? How will you explain it to them? You're going to tell them about floating rocks and prophets? They won't understand. They're not going to catch it. And also, that is not the way that we do it. For us as Muslims, everything hinges on proof. Everything hinges on being able to prove what we say. We're not fantasy people. We don't sit and imagine things. We take from proof. When I came to Islam, that was the key that opened my mind. I used to preach Christianity. That was what I did. I was a businessman and a preacher. And when I tried to bring a person from Islam to Christianity, I was telling him, why don't you come be a Christian? And he told me, I will, if your religion is better than my religion. But you'll have to have proof. I said, proof? Religion is not based on proof. Religion is based on faith. You have faith, so you don't need any proof. He said, in Islam, we have faith and proof. We prove, and then we believe. We have some proof so that we can establish a correct belief to move forward. And in Islam, we have proofs that are unquestionable. And the first and most important proof is the proof in your heart. Before you start to read the Quran, before you start to talk about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and long before you start talking about floating rocks, you talk about this, and that is the correct belief of Allah. Now, you brothers did a pretty good job in your introduction because you said that we are the proof. Well, we're a proof. We're a proof, but we're not the proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly that He has many proofs. What is the word that Allah uses in the Quran when He talks about proofs? Ayah. Ayah means proof. Every single ayah of the Quran is a proof. Did you know that? How many ayahs are in the Quran? No, the number. I want the number. Who knows the exact number of ayat? How many? What is it? Loudly? And? And? 2,000? 6,236? I think it's 6,327 or 26. I think that's what it is. I counted them all, by the way, and put it in here. But that's good. You know that there's over 6,200, and that's good. So there are a lot of ayahs in the Quran, and each one of them is considered an ayah, a proof, not a verse. They're not just verses, they're proofs. Because nobody can copy the Quran. And the Quran brings logical arguments. And so this is why we bring logical arguments and we ask questions and we want proof. Now I like what some of your brothers said, because you're right. When we as human beings look to things that are in the creation, we know that something made them. As an example, when we see a Mercedes go down the street, we know that somebody made that car. We don't have to see the manufacturer to accept the fact that that's a car. We don't have to see it to know that that's a car. We don't have to wait to see somebody cook the food before we eat it. We can eat it because we know it's food. We know somebody put it together, fixed it, and we eat it. We don't have to see somebody make a pen before we know that it can write. We see a map on the wall, and we can understand that it's a map. We don't have to see somebody make it or take the picture. And likewise, when we think about the creation of Allah, we don't have to see Allah to know that somebody created everything that exists. Let's look to the creation in two ways, macro and micro. Macro means big, micro means very small. The macro is what? The universe itself. Take a telescope and look at the universe, and what will you see? You'll see galaxies, you'll see stars, you see planets and moons, right? Right? Yeah. But they're round, aren't they all round? Have you noticed that? They're all round. There's no square boxes floating around out there, are there? Or triangles. They're all round spheres, and they all travel in orbits. The moons travel in orbits around the planets. The planets travel in orbits around the suns, and the suns travel in orbits within their galaxies, and the galaxies are traveling in orbits within their particular, like the Milky Way, and the universe itself is all moving. All of it moving according to whose plan. So you have two things. One is the creation itself. The second is the fact that it's going on. It's alive. It's moving. And where does it come from? Now that's the macro. Let's look to the micro. What is micro? Small. We take a microscope and we look at what? Molecules. The molecules are made out of atoms. Atoms are made out of three things: electrons, protons, and neutrons. And they are what? Round spheres traveling in what? Orbits, going around, going around. How is it? And ask yourself a question. How is it that the same things under the microscope are like the same things under the telescope? And here's the big one. That the human being is built at exactly the right size that he cannot see either one of them without help. We can look and see the finished result of the molecules because we see a table, a chair, a wall. But those are finished products. We can't see what makes them up, can we? We can look in the sky at night, we see stars, but we can't understand what's happening until we have telescopes. Interesting, isn't it? And why are we the exact size that we can't see either one without help? Well, of course, What we're going to say is that because Allah put us here as a test. But we don't want to go to that yet. We have to prove there's Allah. And then we have to prove that His name is Allah. Okay? Now, there must be a creator if you see a creation. Is there a plan? Is there a design? Or did everything come about by an accident? Because many of the people are going to try to tell you, oh, it just came from a big bang. Have you heard that? Of course you heard that. That's what they teach in every single school on the planet. Except Muslim schools and Christian schools. Some of the Christian schools don't teach that. But for sure, in public schools, that's what they want to tell you. Everything came from a big bang, and human beings evolved from what?
Monkeys.
How many of you think it's possible that human beings could come from monkeys? How many of you think that's possible? How many of you at least thought about it one time? Raise your hand. Yeah, be honest. Okay. There is a reason why there are people out there who want you to believe that this kind of an existence comes from evolutionary process. Because if you follow that train of thought, it's easy to make one group of people over another group of people. And that's why they like this thought. That's why they put so much money into it. They spend billions of dollars trying to prove year after year after year that everything came from a big explosion millions of years ago, and that people evolved out of the seaweed and the earth and became some kind of lizards, and then the lizards jumped up in the air and became birds, and some of them became fish, and some of the birds flew on the land, and then they became human beings through a process of going through chimpanzees and apes and all the rest of it. How many of you heard something like this? And they make it believable the way they tell it, don't they? But is there such a possibility? If it's true, then Islam is absolutely wrong. But if Islam is right, then they're absolutely wrong. So you have to find a way to prove for yourself without doubt which is right. This is very important, because this is the real battle that you're fighting every day. This is the difference between iman, the belief, and kufr, disbelief. There are many people who claim to be Muslim, but they still teach that human beings came from monkeys. You know that? Yes. There are many people that claim to be Muslims following Islam, and they still want to teach you that what? That all this came about is some kind of an explosion in space, but they say Allah did it. And then from the explosion, everything came by accident, and it kind of like evolved and so and so and so, and they still come up with the evolutionary theory. They will even argue that Allah said in the Quran, khalaq, which means to create, and He's al-Khaliq, which is the creator, but He's also al-Bari, which is the evolver, and they use that to prove there's evolution. We as Muslims accept the fact that there is evolution. But the evolution is not the evolution of a human from a monkey, but rather natural evolution that Allah put into process rather than to just create a final product. He did some things in steps and others He did instantly. We're going to be talking about those things, and what we want to do tonight, though, is just to prove there's Allah, without a doubt left in your mind ever, ever again. First of all, I want you to think about this. Suppose you have a glass, a water glass. You walk out to the driveway, to the cement, and you hold it up, hold the glass up, and drop it. And what will happen? It'll break. When it breaks, what kind of shapes will you find? Will it drop down and break and make little small glasses? Little small glasses that you can drink out of? Huh? Will it make a nice little set of cups that you can serve tea out of? Never. If I take a big glass bowl and drop it out there, it won't fall down and make a nice little tea service, will it? Will it? Now how about if I took a broken piece of glass and threw it down and then expect that to make something nice and pretty? Would it do that? So how in the world, now stop and think what I'm saying here, at a rock that has no real shape to it, a mass that is nothing, suddenly it explodes and everything nice comes out of an explosion. Does that make any sense? When people start talking about explosions, by the way, I tell them, hold on a second. You want to tell me about an explosion that happened in the universe so many millions of years ago? I'm a Muslim, alhamdulillah. We're the experts. According to you, we're the experts on explosion. So I'm going to tell you about explosion. Nothing creative good comes out of explosions. Ever. So you have to understand that if you see organized patterns, there must be something. When we were walking today, some of you walked down this way, some of you went down the other way, down to the lake, and you look down at the ground, did you see some tracks? Do you see the tracks of cars or trucks that have been through there before? Footprints of people that went through there? And sometimes you might even see animal tracks. But when you see these tracks, you don't have to see what made it to understand that it's there, do you? No. What kind of a fool would sit on railroad tracks and he doesn't believe a train is going to come? Especially these tracks have been well worn and they're real shiny. Even though it rains a lot in that area, but these tracks are shiny. Meaning what? They're not rusty, yet it rains a lot. What does it mean? It means the trains are going by there a lot, doesn't it? Especially that it has these bells and the big crossings that come down, those big arms that stop the cars. You know what I'm talking about? But he wants to ignore that. Even he hears the whistle of the train, woo, 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 and he said, oh, it's just an owl. Clang, 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 and the bells start going off. He said, it's just a doorbell. And you go up to him and you warn him. You go in his face and you're a warner to him and you say, I'm warning you, there's a train coming. He said, a what? He said, a train. He said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen a train. And you say, okay, you didn't ever see a train, but let me explain to you. The train will come through here. He's going to come across these tracks and whatever's on it's going to be gone. Because the train is big. He said, big, like this big? Like a small boxer? No, you said big, really huge. It's going to be on both tracks at the same time. It's so big, and it's going to wipe you off. You need to get out of there. Do you hear the whistle? He said, that's an owl. Did you hear the bell? He said, oh, it's just a doorbell or a phone. You say, listen to me. Do you feel the ground shaking? He said, maybe, it's an earthquake. You see, you're going to think earthquake if you don't get off this track. And he says to you, look, if I don't hear it, and I don't see it, and I don't smell it or taste it or feel it or imagine it in my mind, it doesn't exist. Because this is my senses. My testable evidences come from my senses. So I don't agree with you. There is no train. That's his argument. Now, you can just walk away and leave him there, and guess what? He's going to be toast. He's going to be finished. Is that true? Yeah, because the train's closed. But how can you convince him that there is this train? How can you convince him? Because this really is the argument that people give you. This is the argument that they're going to give you. They will say that I don't hear it, I don't see it, I don't smell it, taste it, feel it, I can't imagine it, therefore what? Doesn't exist. And in philosophy classes, very often they do this. They approach things from that aspect. Use your senses. But there is something you have to understand. A human being is limited. We do not have the senses that are perfect. We have limited senses. For us as Muslims, of course, we know that Allah is all-hearing. He's all-seeing. He's all-knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to think like we think. He doesn't have to process. He doesn't learn by mistakes because he has perfect knowledge. But you can't tell this man that because he doesn't even accept there's a creator or a sustainer. So because of that, he's got this problem. What can we do? Well, first of all, it helps if you have experience. In other words, if you've seen the train go by before, then you believe it. But suppose somebody sent you out there to warn this man. Tell this man. But you also had never seen the train before either. And you listen to him and he starts arguing and tells you, there's not really a train. Who told you this? You say, my uncle told me to come and warn you. Did you see the train? Well, no, I didn't, but I believe my uncle. Who's your uncle? Maybe he's just playing with you. Now what will you do? What will you say? You just stand there and go, well, maybe, I don't know. Which one's right? This is the problem that we face, by the way, today. This is the real problem that we face. Because somebody told you, but you didn't really think it through. You didn't process it to discover for yourself. In fact, there is a train coming. And in our case, we're saying that Allah is coming. He tells us that in Surah Al-Fajr. There's going to be a day when Allah will come. Of course, it's going to be in the next life, and far too late for those people, you know. But at least we know that that's what we're getting ready for. We're preparing for this. But how can we prove it? Can somebody tell me that? What's the real proof? Well, we used some analogies already. We talked about the fact that there is organization to the creation. We talked about that the things come about didn't come about by accident. Now, for those of you who said that we use ourselves as a proof, that's very good, because guess what? There isn't anything else on the planet like a human being. Obviously, you can look at a rock and see that a tree has some advantages over the rock. Because the tree lives and the rock's not alive. It's just there, right? The problem with the tree, though, he grows, gets old, and dies. And the rock is still there. What about an animal? Now, a rock and a tree, neither one can go running around, can they? But an animal can move, right? You see him move around? They can go someplace. A tree can't do that. A tree can't make very many choices, can it? A rock makes no choice at all. He's a rock. He's at the mercy of whatever hits him or throws him around. A tree really doesn't make a conscious choice, but a tree does, like if it hits something while it's growing, it can go to the right or to the left, depending on the will of Allah. But the animal can make a lot of choices, right? He can go this way, he can go that way, he can run away, he can go that way, he can eat, he can sleep. But what about a human being? How is a human being different from an animal? Well, an animal makes his choices based on instinct. But a human being makes his choices based on his free will. And I'll give you an example. And I don't want to give too many examples tonight because I want to try to keep this as short as I can and still get this important message across. But in this room right here, if we were to clean everything out of this room and put a big pile of food over in that corner over there, animal food, okay? And we bring a hungry animal in here and turn him loose, where will he go? He'll go straight to the food. If he's really, really hungry, you could bring in another animal just like him and they'll fight over it, right? They'll fight. Even if it's his own kid, his own offspring, because he wants that food. A human being, though, you could bring them in the room where there's food and water, and maybe he'll eat it and maybe he won't. You could say, well, what if he's really, really hungry? He still has choices, doesn't he? He might say, well, wait a minute. Maybe it's poison. I won't eat it. Animal won't ask that question. He just smell it. Doesn't smell bad? Eat it. Human being might look at it and say, I'll save it for later. Or I'll save it for my kids are coming. Let them eat first. I'll eat after them. Or he might even say, I'm fasting. I'm not going to eat until the sun goes down. Is that true? So a human being does have a different kind of choice than an animal. And in this way, we are like, in this way, we are like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about us. When He said that He created us in the best of molds, but then we, by our own choice, reduced ourselves to the lowest of low. And He said this in what surah? Anybody tell me? At-Tin. Wat-Tini wa Zaytun. You know it? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wat-Tini wa Zaytun wa Turi Sinin wa Hadabal Jalamin. Lakhara khalaqnal insana fi ahsani taqwim. Thumma raddadnahu asfala safilin. And Allah created us in the best of molds, but then reduced us to the lowest of low. A human being can do so many wonderful things, and yet we don't. And so that's why you're here for this program. So you can see how you can be what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to be, and accept the best of what there is in a human being. And inshallah, through the next few days, we're going to try our best to have a good time, have some fun, but at the same time to learn the importance of this thing called Islam. And the first thing to do is to prove there is Allah. And how can we prove it? Without doubt. Well, believe it or not, the proof is inside yourself. Because if you don't want to believe, you never will. But if you want to, you will. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us something which might translate to English like this. That we should ask, and we should seek, and that we should knock. He said we should ask and it will be given to us. We should seek and we'll find it. And we should knock and it will be opened. These statements are actually also in the Bible. Some of the things in Islam are also in the Bible. It makes sense because, obviously, it's the same religion that came with all the prophets. So where we begin is in the heart. Because even after we give the logical explanation like we just did, the next thing is to do what? Clean the heart. How do I clean the heart? What makes a heart dirty, according to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is lying and prejudices. Lying. What is lying? Anything that's not true. Has anybody in this room ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Ever. Even one lie in your life.
No.
Who never told any lie? Ever. Anybody? So everybody here admits they told a lie, huh? So this is bad. This is actually a very bad thing, because lying will cut you off from Allah. Lying cuts you off from Allah. Because Allah is al-haq. What does that mean? Absolute truth. And lying cuts you off from truth. It's forbidden in Islam to lie. We don't lie. Additionally, in Islam, we know that asabiyya, prejudice, is also forbidden. It's something that is so bad that it destroys even your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's important for us to get rid of this asabiyya. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? Prejudice. Meaning when you think my group is better than this group. My tribe is better than that tribe. My family is better than your family. My nation is better than your nation. Because all of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created equal. And all the religions, the three great religions, teach this, that people are created equal. Yet why do the Jewish think they're better than the other people? Why do the Christians think they're better than the other people? And why do Muslims think they're better than the other people? And why do nations think they're better than the other people? How many of you think Canada is a great nation? You do, because you're from Canada. But if somebody's from America, they will say America is a great nation. I don't say that because I'm from Texas. I say Texas is a great nation. But seriously, this is something that can be very damaging, because when you get to think that you're better than somebody else, then you actually are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what makes you better than somebody else in your mind is actually something called kibr. Who knows what's kibr? What's kibr? You just want to raise your hand. Okay. It means what? What? Arrogance? Pride. Keep a simple word for me, okay? Pride. But arrogance is right. Pride, when somebody has pride. But be careful, because kibr comes from the same word that Akbar comes from. And Akbar is who? Allah. So I think it's time for a takbir. What do you think? Takbir!
Allah!
Oh, boy, you didn't do that very good. I thought you really meant it. If you really mean it, you should be able to say it. Takbir!
Allah!
Takbir?
Allah!
Yeah, I like that. Allah is Akbar. And so, for sure, this is important, that we clean our hearts first. Get rid of the lies, get rid of the prejudice, and with a clean heart, here's what you do. This is what you do for yourself, and this is what you tell other people to do. This is your key. This is why you sit here all night. Don't miss this. You've been sitting here all night waiting to hear this. Don't miss it now. Shaitan doesn't want you to hear this, so be sure you listen. You cannot be guided except by the guidance of Allah. You cannot be guided except by the guidance of Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and we ask for peace and blessings be upon him, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed something in the Quran that he never revealed to any prophet prior to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, and it's in Surah Fatiha. And it is Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, which means guide us to the straight path. So this is what we're supposed to be asking for. This is what we're supposed to be seeking after. And this is what we're supposed to be knocking for. What is it? Guidance. Because without guidance, you have nothing. You can build a big company, a large organization, a huge masjid, and a lot of people following you, but without guidance, you have nothing. And all guidance is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's where we'll start tonight. Tonight, clean your hearts and ask Allah to guide you tonight. Tonight. Begin tonight. Inshallah, we're going to pray in a few minutes. And when we pray, we're going to pray our prayers combined, because we're travelers. So we're going to pray Alhamdulillah, Salat al-Maghrib, 3 rak'ahs, Isha, we'll pray as 2 because we're musafirin, traveling. And then in your du'as, in your prayers, ask Allah for the guidance. Because if He guides you, you'll be successful. But if He doesn't, you'll be an utter failure. Everything hinges on this guidance. Everything hinges on you. I cannot do it for you. Nobody can do this for you, because this is your responsibility to ask Allah, Allah guide me. Allah guide me. Allah guide me. And those are the words that I said 11 years ago, because I wanted to know what was the truth. So I did that. I put those prejudices out of my heart. And I got rid of those lies. And I asked Allah, guide me. Guide me. Oh God, if you're there, guide me. That's the exact words that I said. And right after that, I realized that God all along was real. It was me that was fake and phony. I realized there is God. But what stops people from knowing is their own corruption. And they have to get rid of that before they can go forward. And when your eyes open and your ears open and your heart opens to this message, you will understand it. Otherwise, you can go through your whole life and waste it. And then when you're asked on the Day of Judgment, who is your Lord? you won't be able to give the right answer. May Allah save us from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to guide all the people. Ameen. Let's go back and look at the beginning of the Quran one more time. Remember the statement says, ask, seek, and knock. What is it that we knock on? What do you knock on? Doors, of course. And when you knock at a door, what's expected? You expect what will happen to the door? Open. What's the name of the first chapter in the Quran? Opening. The opening. That's what Fatiha means. The opening. And that is the thing that Jesus, peace be upon him, spoke about. It's in the Bible. It's the thing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. It's in the prophecy, in his traditions, in the sunnah. So we know that if you go to the Quran and look at this, the opening is there, and the first thing you're asking for is what? Hidayah. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. And it's a commandment you're telling Allah, guide me. And after you read this, Ameen, and then what? You begin the next chapter, what does it say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif, Lam, Mim. And then what? Zalika kitabu la rayba fih. This is the book wherein there is no doubt. Huda al-Muttaqeen, the guidance for those who are mutaki, those who believe in Allah, fear Allah, and hope for the mercy of Allah. So we'll continue with this at another time, but I want you to think about what you're saying when you say Ihdina siratal mustaqeem. You're asking for Allah's guidance. And this is the only way to be successful. Because whoever Allah guides, there's none to misguide them. But whoever Allah misguides, he'll find no guide. So may Allah provide guidance for all of us. Ameen. May Allah guide us in the things that we do here at this camp that will please Him. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to be the best of the best that we can be to help and guide others to this same truth. Ameen. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار امين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد امين ان الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك